Hello, and welcome to our discussion of win-win relationships. This is Dr. Darlene Treese. Thanks so much for joining us. Did you know there's only one way in all the earth to get anyone to do anything? Isn't that amazing? Yes, just one way. And that's by making the other person want to do it. Always, always remember there is no other way. Of course, you can make a man give you his watch by putting a gun in his side. Or you can make an employee give you cooperation, and that will last until your back is turned. You can make a child do what you want by threats of spankings or punishment. But all of these crude methods have very undesirable repercussions. The only way I can get you to do anything is by giving you what you want. So the next question is, what do you want? The famous Dr. Sigmund Freud said that everything you and I do springs from two motives, the sex urge and the desire to be great. John Dewey, one of America's most profound philosophers, phrases it a bit differently. He says the deepest urge in human nature is the desire to be important. So going back to the question, of what do you want? Not many things, actually. But the few things that you do want, you will crave with an insistence that will not be denied. Almost every normal adult wants health and preservation of life, food, sleep and sexual gratification, money and the things that it will buy, life in the hereafter, and a feeling of importance. Almost all of these wants are gratified in some degree except one. And the longing that is seldom gratified is what Freud calls the desire to be great. It is what Dewey calls the desire to be important. Lincoln once began a letter by saying everybody likes a compliment. William James said, the deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated. He didn't talk about the wish to be appreciated or the desire to be appreciated. He said the craving to be appreciated. It's a gnawing human hunger, and the person who can satisfy this hunger will hold people in his hand. Notice we're not talking about manipulation. We are talking about filling a deep human hunger. You are not alone in wanting to gain the commitment of the men and women, family members, friends, co-workers, all those who can help you make life richer and fuller for yourself and for them. It's important that you look after your own interests since no one else will, but you must also share the winnings, or others will grow tired of not getting what they want, and they will leave you. The best way to begin is with the law of reciprocity. This is perhaps the most useful concept ever developed for controlling the attitudes and behaviors of people. By applying this law, you can develop a consistent reward system that enables people to find satisfaction in all of the interactions with you. When people meet, they go through a series of unspoken and often unconscious transactions that are a survival tactic from our primitive past. The transactions remain a part of our instinctive behavior, much as our social customs and traditions do. Even after we have learned that another person is safe, we still interpret each new encounter to verify our perception of the situation. This law can be summed up with these words. The way you want people to act toward you is the way you must treat them first. People take their cues from each other because life is filled with spoken and unspoken trade-offs that they require of each other. If we offer friendship, it is normally returned. If we are honest and sincere, people will be the same with us. If we are critical and harsh, they protect themselves in much the same manner. Use the sidewalk test to prove this to yourself and see if it doesn't work. The next time you walk down a crowded sidewalk, smile and nod at the people you meet. Almost everyone will return your greeting with a smile of his own, and many will say hello as well. On the following block, frown and stare at the oncoming people, but be prepared to get out of their way. When I frown at people, I've had them glare back or shout obscenities, or go far out of their way to avoid being around me. They were hooking into my behavior. There are men and women who have been hurt so badly in their relationships they cannot relate to others in socially acceptable ways, regardless of how well they are currently treated. Included in this category are the mentally ill, scam artists, muggers, and those who don't understand the cause and effect relationships that make life more rewarding. Their behavior is usually fixed in childhood, but some adults have been so badly hurt in business, marriage, or in selfish friendships that they are perpetually defensive. Another group of people who do not automatically react to the way they are being treated are the emotionally mature adults who understand the fears and frustrations that produce unpleasant acts committed by others when they are tired, frustrated, or frightened. The emotionally mature person can resist a childlike response even when he is being treated badly. The different aspects of this law for influencing the attitudes and behavior of people can be combined into a single basic principle for you to use. It is this: good things happen to people who cooperate. The principle for winning almost universal cooperation and commitment is based on the three crucial factors in all human motivation. They form a simple but universal approach, since humans always follow them unless they are frightened, angry, or confused. According to Viktor Frankl, people always prefer pleasure to pain, prestige to devaluation, and purpose to futility. Pleasure, prestige, and purpose. When you understand this progression to motivation and apply it as a basic principle, you can develop the most powerful motivation technique available. People all want to come through life being winners. So when you consistently use your skills to help them gain pleasure, prestige, and purpose, they will give you their cooperation. Men and women invariably want to feel good instead of bad, to feel important instead of unimportant, and to have a purpose rather than be meaningless. When you make it possible for them to experience these things through interpersonal cooperation, you will consistently have their loyalty and commitment. The basic principle is effective because humans are self-centered. Each person wants to earn a reward for his investment of energy and time. With our unique human ability to substitute the symbolic for the tangible, these rewards may become psychological and spiritual rather than material. You would think that everyone understands that people prefer a pat on the back to a kick lower down, winning in life instead of losing. But I'm amazed at how many people use the negative approach. I continually see parents and spouses and teachers and coaches and managers not say anything to a person they are wanting to guide until something goes wrong. Then they attack them, and thus assure that the person who is hurt or humiliated will do his best in the future. Not his best to improve, but to do his best in keeping a future mistake from being discovered. Achieving pleasure, prestige, and purpose are the only motives you can rely on. The rewards that meet a person's needs are his payoff from life. They are the ultimate reasons he works, plays, loves, or does whatever he does. Regardless of how well you understand motivation and how effectively you develop rapport and relate interpersonally, conflicts are bound to arise from time to time. People get into trouble with each other because their personality patterns, assumptions, expectations, attitudes, and goals are incompatible. Sometimes conflicts are caused by simple selfishness when one person insists on all the rewards for himself. Also, thinkers as diverse as Sigmund Freud, Conrad Lorenz, and St. Paul haven't concluded that human beings live in an unstable state of fear and distrust, which complicates their attempts to live and work together peacefully. St. Paul called this unfortunate trait mankind's carnal nature, while Freud spoke about the id. Lorenz attributed our propensity toward conflict and violence to a need to defend our physical and psychological territory from those who would encroach on it. Our earliest ancestors typically reacted to danger and the fear it produces by fighting to survive or by fleeing for the same reason. Today, however, either fight or flight causes more problems than it solves. A frightened person may flee the benefits you want to share with them, or they may attack your judgment out of fear that you're being deceptive. Fear will be the major reason why people will not cooperate you when it's in their best interest to do so. They may fear that they will not get the rewards that are being promised. They may fear feeling badly about themselves or looking foolish in the eyes of others. The fears and angers that lie just below the conscious level are most worthy of your consideration and understanding. Much resistance can be reduced by dealing openly with the ideas that can lead to conflict. There's no better way than to follow this three-step approach. Number one, accept and support the person's right to feel fear. Number two, formulate and confirm a question about it. And number three, answer the question to that person's satisfaction. In doing this, remain perceptive enough to catch nonverbal signs as well as what he has to say. And even if he rejects your attempts to focus his interests by stating that you have missed the mark, you've not reduced his trust in any way. You are still being supportive and accepting, and you can openly ask him to tell you what is bothering him, what his question really is. Doing so gives him permission to be honest with you, something that few people ever do, even though they pretend to. In answering fears and doubts, I often use the format feel, felt, and found. It goes like this. I understand how you feel. I felt that way too, until I found that. In this way, you're acknowledging and addressing the fears head on, while still maintaining a high degree of respect for the person. Can't you think of a lot of times in your life where you would have truly appreciated being on the receiving end of such supportive conversation? Most of the time we are attacked or belittled instead. Any person can avoid conflict as long as they avoid having opinions, always surrender to the demands put on them, and become like a robot who obeys as programmed at all times. Since few people want to live like that, and since the pressures of our current lifestyle are great, conflicts continue to complicate relationships. A good conflict avoidance technique is found in mediation. Here you know that you will not get everything you want, nor will the other person, but both of you will get enough to make you happy. In most situations, conflicts are less noble than what we tell ourselves they are. It's usually our ego demanding to be right. Most of these conflicts occur when frustration is high and when you're looking for ways to find relief. You will gain acceptance and support using this law of treating the other person in the way that you want to be treated, rather than resentment and resistance using the law of the jungle. The technique is based on the fact that all of your feelings and all of their feelings are legitimate and needed for survival. The more demanding or intense a relationship, the more likely the chance of conflicts arising. When solutions are not negotiable and you have to require cooperation or compliance, it can still be done in such a way that a good relationship can continue. As in many cases, it's not so much what you do, but how you do it. This is effective because most people prefer a mutually supportive relationship to winning all of the payoffs. Offering support when an occasional payoff must be withheld will keep the relationship strong. Obviously, you cannot use the refusal technique too often, or it will lose its effectiveness because the payoffs are out of balance. The five steps of the supportive refusal technique are: 1, accept the person's request in supportive terms. 2, express understanding by paraphrasing the request. 3, state the legitimate denial in authentic terms. 4, help the person be authentic about his feelings. 5, restate the denial firmly but supportively. Acceptance enables another person to gain emotional relief without receiving interruption or rebuttal, which would devalue him. Expressing understanding is best done by putting his feelings into your own words to demonstrate that you know how he really feels. Stating the denial with authentic words and body language will give him something to reason about once you have accepted and supported his emotions. Helping the disappointed person express his feelings clears the air and offers more symbolic relief. Restating the denial in a firm but non-critical manner helps gain acceptance and close the issue permanently. We live, it seems, in an age of looking out for 1. I hope that through this tape, you've learned that putting yourself first doesn't have to mean putting others second. By showing respect for the motivation and feeling of others, you will set the stage for success in all aspects of your life, and you will invite others to behave in the same way toward you. Welcome to Side 2 of the tape. Remember, this is a hypnosis tape. You want to listen to this tape at a time that you have where you can sit and relax and close your eyes, or you may use it to drift away to sleep at night. Do not listen to this side of the tape while you're driving a car, operating heavy machinery, or doing anything that requires your full and total attention. So find a comfortable position and close your eyes. And imagine for a moment that only two things exist in the universe: the space occupied by your body and the sound of my voice. And focus your attention like the beam of a flashlight on the sound of my voice. And imagine that a warm, gentle ray of sunlight shining down at the top of your head, relaxing the muscles of your head and your hair and your scalp, all of those thousands of tiny little muscles just relaxing and letting go. And feel that warm sunlight shining on your face, relaxing your forehead, your eyebrows and your eyelids, your nose and your cheeks, your mouth and your chin, your tongue relaxing, and even the bottom of your tongue relaxing. And it feels as if gentle fingertips were smoothing away every line, every wrinkle, every concern, and every worry. Feel that warm sunlight shining on your neck and your shoulders, melting away all of the tension, all of the stress, all of the problems and worries and concerns that you've been carrying around. Just feel them melting away from you right now. It's okay to put them down for a while, and you can pick them up later if you need to. And let that warm feeling move through your shoulders and your upper arms, through your elbows and your forearms, your wrists and hands and fingers. And notice how warm and relaxed your hands have become. Feel that warm sunlight shining on your chest and warming your back, relaxing every muscle, every system, every organ of your body, relaxing, completely relaxing. And let that warm feeling move through your waist, and your hips, your thighs, and your knees. Your calves. And ankles. And feet, and even moving out through the ends of your toes. That beautiful relaxation coming into each and every cell of your being. That beautiful healing white light that dissolves all negativity, all worry and tension and stress, all problems and concerns, frustration and annoyance, all regrets from the past, and all apprehensions of the future. Dissolving all of those things from every cell of your being, and transmuting them into a fine mist or vapor, and allow the white light that is within and all around you to absorb that mist in the same way that the sun absorbs the dew on the grass. And you are sinking deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Deep, relaxed hypnosis. And I want you to visualize as vividly as you can the scene I'm about to describe. And I want you to pretend that you're walking along the beach and it's mid-July and it's very, very comfortable. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun has not yet begun to set, but it's getting low on the horizon. The sun is a golden blazing yellow, the sky a brilliant blue, the sand a dazzling glistening white in the sunlight. Feel the cold, wet, firm, hard-packed sand beneath your feet. Taste and smell the salt in the air. There's a residue of salt deposited on your lips from the ocean spray, and you can taste it if you lick your lips. Hear the beating of the waves, the rhythmic lapping to and fro, back and forth of the water against the shore. Hear the far-off cry of a distant gull as you continue to walk. And you are drifting deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Deep, relaxed hypnosis. And you come to a sand dune, a mound of pure white sand. Covering the mound are bright yellow buttercups, deep pink moss roses. And you sit down on its crest and look out to sea. And it's a beautiful day. And the warm light from the sun is focused down around your body. And it's like you're in a cocoon. You feel warm and protected and very, very comfortable. We all recognize that as we move through life, so often we pick up hurts and resentments, fears, angers, jealousies, all directed to us or perhaps from us to others. And sometimes we put those things on ourselves. As we grow in acceptance and love, we naturally wish to loosen from ourselves the inflicted mental handcuffs, to be free from our own self-inflicted isolations and from all self-defeating behaviors. So relax now and let's accomplish a healing forgiveness. For forgiveness means to give up and replace those ill feelings to gain a sense of peace and harmony again. It only takes one person acting sincerely to forgive and free many others, and to be totally free yourself. So as you are relaxing, a circle is beginning to form around you. You are in the middle of the circle. And forming the circle are those people who represent the situations and events that will benefit by your forgiveness of them and their forgiveness of you, and you forgiving yourself as well. So as that circle is being formed, acknowledge each person. Starting with your mom, and your dad, and other family members, and friends. Neighbors. Authority figures from the past. People that you work with. People that you work for. People who have been very close to you. And people who have been acquaintances. People from the past. And people from the present. And anyone else that you would like to include in the circle. And notice that you are also on the outside of the circle, the person you've judged and criticized. For you who is in the middle of the circle is whole and complete and perfect in every way. And notice that you're bound to each of these people by ropes. These ropes represent the negativity between you and them, and that negativity can cause illness and disease and keep us in behaviors that we don't really want. A sense of peace is pervading over you as you prepare now to forgive and be forgiven and to forgive yourself as well. So at this moment, rising from under your feet, beginning to grow stronger and stronger, taking in everyone and beginning to burn through the ropes that bind you and them, is a violet transmuting flame. The color is royal blue or purple. And feel this flame as it begins to surge forward to dissolve the bonds that hold you. Mentally repeat with me, and as you do, feel the flame begin to transmute and change all the negativity of the situations into positive experiences. Repeat mentally. All that has offended me, I forgive. Within and without, I forgive. Things past, things present, things future, I forgive. I forgive everyone and everything that can possibly need forgiveness of the past, of the present, and of the future. I am free, and they are free too, and all things are being cleared up between us now and forever. But most of all, I forgive myself for first having set them in motion. Experience a violet flame burning and setting you free, transmuting and changing into love. Again, feel the flame. Experience the flame changing in the hearts and minds of all of you, and begin to feel and see love for everyone, including yourself. Mentally affirm, I forgive everything, everyone, every experience and every memory of the past or the present or the future that needs forgiveness. I forgive positively everyone, and everyone forgives me. The universe is love, and I'm forgiven and guided by that love alone. And that love is now adjusting my life and its problems. Realizing this, I abide in peace. I'm being healed and cleansed by the violet transmuting flame now. The violet flame is dissolving the bonds that bind you, changing each and every cell in your body to a radiant center of love and acceptance and understanding. Allow the violet flame to move out of your world and relax. Let it die down and relax. And it's a beautiful day. And as all the bonds of past judgments and negative thinking are being released from your world, you find a new sense of energy, a new sense of calmness, a new sense of focus and direction, a new sense of communication with those people who are in your life and those people who you would like to come into your life. Imagine now those communications becoming stronger and stronger. Feeling that sense of unconditional love and acceptance for everyone in your world. Feeling that sense of compromise and of truly valuing each person and their opinions while remaining true to yourself as well. Repeat to yourself the statements that I will say. I love, appreciate, and forgive myself. I accept myself for being who I am, and I am excited about who I am becoming. I forgive and release all others who have hurt, frustrated, or annoyed me in any way. I forgive them for not being who I wanted them to be, and I forgive them for not doing what I wanted them to do. I release all grudges, angers, disappointments, and judgments that I have toward myself or anyone else. And my life feels good. I can accomplish what I want. Opportunities find me. I meet new people. I create what I need. I am open to suggestions. I accept success. I take responsibility and credit. Money flows to me. I prosper. I'm always in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. I feel good. Ideas come to me that are positive and beneficial. I know what to do and I do it. I have the power to make my life what I want it to be. I use that power for the highest good of all concerned, including me. I'm no longer a victim, or a martyr, or a savior. I act rather than react. All my needs are always met. I control my life. I control my thoughts. I control my emotions. I control my happiness. I control my success. I control my temper. I control my anger because I control my choices. I begin all things easily and effortlessly, and I always finish what I begin. I can create something good from a bad situation, so nothing bad ever really happens to me. I accept success. There are no limits to the good that can happen, and I open my heart and my mind to receive that good. I cure what's curable, prevent what's preventable, and enjoy the rest. I prosper in every way. I communicate very well with others. Let the full impact of these statements penetrate each and every cell of your being and know that this is the truth about you. And our subconscious mind accepts as real those mental images or those mental pictures we put into it. So I want you to imagine that you're back at the beach sitting on a blanket and enjoying the warmth of the sun and watching the waves come in. And you're thinking about how good your life is. What a fantastic relationship you have with all of those people who are in your world. And as you're there at the beach, you notice that there's a raft next to you. Pick up the raft and go into the water. The water feels a little chilly when you first get in, but soon your body becomes accustomed to it, and it feels so refreshing. Get on the raft and enjoy the warmth of the sun and the very gentle rocking of the waves. And as you do, you notice that life is very much like these waves. That there are conditions and situations and events that we label as good, and these may be like the crest of the wave. And that there are situations and events that we label as bad, and these may be like the ebb of the wave. But in reality, there is no good or bad. There are only events, just as there are only waves. And they are all a part of the cycle of life. And you can go through any event, through any experience, totally relaxed and totally in control, for you are on that raft. And that raft is the knowledge, the power of your subconscious mind, that perfect part of you that always knows what to say and what to do. And if you ever feel that this feeling of being totally relaxed and totally in control is ever leaving you, you can bring it back in an instant. You merely take a deep breath and hold it for a moment, slowly release it and say, "Relax, be at peace." And your body becomes totally relaxed. All tension and stress just melt away as an ice cube would melt on a hot sidewalk. And you make an okay sign with the thumb and finger of your right hand. And when you do this, your mind is calm and clear, centered and focused, and your whole being is filled with a sense of confidence and calmness and deep inner peace. Relax once more and know that every time that you do this, that sense becomes even stronger for you. For all of life is nothing more then a series of small decisions, and in each decision, you are choosing health, and you are choosing life, and you are choosing the very best that life has to offer. In a moment, I'm going to awaken you by counting from 20 to 1. If you're listening to this tape at night, and it's time for you to go to sleep, you'll ignore these suggestions and go into a deep and wonderful sleep. But if it's time for you to wake up and tend to other things, you will now listen as I count. 20, 15, 10. Your eyes wanting to open and your body wanting to stretch. 5, and 1. Wide awake, fully refreshed and relaxed, feeling better than you've ever felt before, and sharing your success with all of those people close to you. Have an awesome day. Thank you.